Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the SmackDown Review podcast? Yes, my name is Phil Chambers and I am joined by Gareth Morgan to talk all things Blue Brand on this fine Saturday. But before we get into it, make sure you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts from, because we do daily wrestling podcasts. We do wrestling podcasts about Raw, wrestling podcasts about SmackDown, wrestling podcasts about NXT, wrestling podcasts about AEW, wrestling podcasts that are roundtable discussions, wrestling podcasts that are roundup of the week, complete with bloody good quizzes, and wrestling podcasts that are interviews. I've got that bit, Matt Quiz, but I got there in the end. It's all worked out. But this is indeed about SmackDown, and one hell of a moment on SmackDown last night. Finally, it's proven. Ain't nobody meaner than Tamina. That's the biggest thing we can take away from this.
That's the talking point. I'm assuming we're going to spend the next at least 45 minutes talking about this moment, because it was
easy peasy.
Career highlight, a Blue Show highlight of the year, if not the decade. It was. Yeah. It was frightening. I didn't know why it wasn't on last. I felt like they set themselves a tall order to follow that.
It was an absolute disgrace, really. But whatever they put on this main event just could not live up to that hype.
That's it. I hope whoever did that leaves town just like the loser left town in said main event. Oops, spoiler.
But yeah, obviously, huge main event with Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. But we will get there, because the first thing that we did see on SmackDown was Bianca Belair coming out, the SmackDown Women's Champion, basically opening up the show saying, like, welcome to the coolest, dopest, the hottest show on Fox. And then she's like, put your hands together for... And then the Dirty Dogs came out and interrupted her. And they're talking about how they're going to take over the show. And then out come the Street Profits, and they interrupted them. And then the Street Profits are like, oh, did the Dirty Dogs just interrupt the main event of WrestleMania? And then... The Street Profits gets interrupted, sort of confused already by all the interruptions, because out comes Bayley, and she just kind of steals the microphone off Bianca Belair, laughs in her face, gets punched for it, and then they have a big brawl, and then we go into a match, which is 3-on-3, Bayley and the Dirty Dogs versus Bianca Belair and the Street Profits. So yeah, I guess just talk about how we open SmackDown, and then we'll get into the match.
Yeah, it felt like SmackDown's attempts to subvert the Raw trope that is like, person comes out, person interrupts. They just tried like mixing up the entries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like even just you trying to recount it there, it was just like, this feels jarring compared to what we normally do. It still very much was person speaks, threatens other person, other person comes out to threaten. It's like, it is what it is, but you get it made Bianca Belair feel like a big, big star, because we know
that was.
Whoever opens the show, man, it's like you're the big personality. Cesaro did it last week, he didn't get to speak, bless him. But Bianca Belair does it this week, and you're like, boom, it's the girl.
At least she got a whole sentence out before she got kicked off the mic.
Yeah, bless her. She just exudes star power, though. You just see her skipping out of the ring. It's like, whoa, that's the woman. That is the woman.
Yeah. But yeah, this was all just building to the match, really, which was the WWE mixed tag rules that are always really odd, because you always get that weird moment where, like, a woman tags a guy in or whatever, and then you get that weird moment where they kind of stare down, like, are they going to fight? Well, no, of course they're not going to fight. And then they talk about how they don't actually need to tag in and out in mixed tag rules, because as soon as one person of a different gender goes in, it just automatically switches to someone else. It's all a little bit weird.
Where was Corey Graves explaining the rules of this match, eh? For a friggin' steel cage.
But yeah, it did start with Bianca and Bayley, and Bianca just looked really great going after Bayley with her strength and athleticism. And yeah, it was just a little section of Bayley putting over Bianca, I guess, until Bayley squirreled away and like ran to the corner and tags out. And then you get a bit of a moment when Bianca Belair squares up with Dolph Ziggler and you're like, oh, is she not? No, of course not, because Angelo Dawkins runs in and attacks him. And then it sort of builds this huge dive from Montez Ford where he kind of jumps a little bit too far for the Dirty Dogs to catch him. And then Bayley sort of throws Bianca into the steel steps on the outside, which distracts Montez Ford, obviously. And then Dolph runs in with the super kicks and the Dirty Dogs get control of the match. And then it kind of builds up to Montez Ford hitting a super kick, and then he gets the hot tag to Dawkins, who runs in and goes a little bit mad for a while. And then Bianca goes for the KOD on Dolph Ziggler at some point, like gets him up on her shoulders, but Bayley runs in, breaks it up, and then she gets hit by the KOD. And then Rude runs in, gets the roll up on Angelo Dawkins. Everybody grabs the tights, and as he's holding him, Bianca Belair comes in from behind, whips him with the hair, which we know how much that hurts from WrestleMania. And then Angelo Dawkins hits him with a spine buster. Montez Ford goes up to the top rope and gets the big frog splash. 1, 2, 3. That is your opening match. Bianca Belair and the Street Profits win. Fine stuff. It was good fun.
Yeah, it was. Like, again, it's that thing that we will say time and time again with SmackDown, that you kind of get what it says on the tin, and that's not a bad thing. It's like the expectations are there, and they deliver on them. They didn't need to tear the house down because the house was going to get absolutely obliterated at the end of the night. This was just setting the stage for that. And I've got a weird thing with this Bianca Belair hair thing, because it's like, I get it. It's attached to a body. Like, it's just a part of a body, so it can't be, like, seen as a weapon, but... that's a weapon. I'm sorry. Like, it's like an unfair advantage that nobody else has, this massive long braid that's got a bobble on it, right? So the bobble is classed as a weapon. It's being whipped with this velocity. It's mad. You heard the sound it made to Sasha Banks' abdominal region at WrestleMania. It sounded like a damn strike of lightning. It's just... that's the only thing where I'm always a bit like, wow, that's really cool and impressive and ouch, but equally, that's... It's like veering on. It's going to be one of those things when she does become a heel. It's going to be such an incredible tactic to fall back on when she's just like whipping that out, pun intended, to batter people. And all that. It's just going to be great. But at this point, as a babyface, it's a bit like nobody else has got that advantage, Bianca.
I guess it works kind of both ways though, because yes, it is an advantage in one way, but it's also something that people can take advantage of if they're going up against her. Like we saw how much Sasha used it against her at WrestleMania. Not that it worked in the end, because I think the whip outweighed anything that she could do to her. But it works both ways.
It vexes her. It's just, literally, it's winding her up. If you start yanking on it, it just like amps up the adrenaline aggression of her. I think it's just a bad idea going anywhere near that braid. But it was great. The match itself, like, it was fun. It was quick. And I've got like a weird little stat thing that I'm probably going to tie into the Natalia and Tamina stuff later on. So I'm going to save that, but just so you know, I'm going to plant this little seed there, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Nice stat teasers. Check us out. I will say, I still wonder why the Street Profits are involved in this tag team title scene at all, since they have lost their shot and they've not really won any matches that would make you believe that they're ready for a title shot again. And now they're kind of mixing it up with the tag champs. Might just be because they've got no other tag teams and they don't know what they're doing.
I'm edging on the side of caution with this division right now. We've been filling it with praise and it's like, no, don't go back. Don't go backwards. We're doing okay.
But yeah, fine way to start SmackDown. And then we got into hyping the main event, which was pretty much what this entire SmackDown was designed to do, and for good reason. And we started off, we had Caleb Braxton backstage with Daniel Bryan, and he was just talking about how he's at peace with his decision to kind of put it all on the line later on tonight, and he's really excited for it. He's just excited to get sort of a fair fight, a one-on-one fight with Roman Reigns finally for the championship, and he's ready to tap him out again. And his first match when he becomes champ isn't going to be a rematch, no, because Roman Reigns has made everyone sort of work from the bottom and earn their way to a match. Well, he's going to give someone who's needed an opportunity, who's waited for an opportunity for way too long, he's going to give it straight to Cesaro. If only.
Yeah, it's not fair, this. It's really hard to watch back now. after we get there, but you'll know, it's just... the simpler times, man.
And then straight after this, we had a promo from Seth Rollins, who is backstage in that little sort of backstage ring that they've got set up. But there was like really weird dramatic music over the top of it. And I was into it. I really liked it as a thing, but it just stood out as very strange.
Yeah, it stood out as something I need now every time anybody has a backstage interview. Yeah. This is great.
But he was talking about how he thinks that Brian's going to win and give his buddy his first title shot, or Brian thinks he's going to win and give his buddy his first title shot, I should say. But Seth Rollins' prediction is simple, and it is actually that Brian will win, and it'll be the biggest upset of all time. But it isn't going to be Cesaro who gets the first shot, because he's not even going to make it past next week, because he's putting a challenge out there to Cesaro for next week. Are you ready to take another swing?
I'm super game for that match. Like, I see, it's one of those. I was getting very worried, probably the SmackDown after WrestleMania, because we had that little kind of exchange with Rollins and Cesaro, and I was like, oh, they're going to do it, aren't they? It's going to roll this straight into WrestleMania Backlash. We've got to wait another pay-per-view before Cesaro gets the proper push. Like, this is still a push, but the proper push, you know, the main event push. And then the fact that, like, things have aligned as they have now, especially on this show, it's like, okay, I can deal with that. It's going to be interesting to see how they get a definitive end to that feud next week, because we know, as much as contrary to what this episode does at the end, WWE aren't the biggest fans of just having a definite, like, here's the winner of this feud, moving on. They're not some kind of way of extending it. And then that makes me think, oh, they're going to maybe try and tie Seth into main event stuff, which, again, not against, but it just could get a bit muddy with, if you want to have this clear focus on Cesaro, maybe challenging Roman, doing all that. It could just... Yeah. Potentially take a bit of his light away. I may be jumping to all the guns here, Phil. It's just one match has been announced, but it's we've got to think this way because we've been conditioned to.
Yeah. Since we're talking about next week's SmackDown as well, we should talk about how it's been announced as a go back edition of SmackDown, and it's got like the old SmackDown logo and things. So like a sort of how they did the sort of classic Raws, they're now going to do that with SmackDown, it seems, because they were bored one week and decided to do it. I'm not entirely sure why, but I'm okay with it. If it brings back the SmackDown fist.
That's it. Bring back the fist. I'm all about that. But it's one of those things where I think WWE need whatever they can right now just to make that Thunderdome feel a bit fresh for at least 1 week. Do you know what I mean? Because we are getting to the point now where it's like every single week just feels the same. I know it's such a first world problem. Like, oh, this Thunderdome's got so boring now. It's like, we've got a damn Thunderdome. Come on, like, it's not the end of the world. But I think just seeing the fist, or maybe even the rings, you know, the old rings, the old SmackDown rings, like the old school ones, because it was that logo, like the original SmackDown logo. So a lot of people on Twitter have been like, oh, they're going to bring back the rings, not the fist, which would be a massive fist in the face if they did that.
So after that, we had Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and Reginald walking around backstage, and then they were talking about how singles matches don't matter because they're tag champs, so who cares about all their singles losses? And then they were saying they're sick of being disrespected on Raw, and then they got attacked by Natty and Tamina from behind.
Because?
Ain't nobody meaner than Tamina.
Yeah, that's the reason. That's what we're going with. I couldn't find another one, so it's got to be the reason.
And then we did, of course, get Natalya and Tamina going up against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler in a non-title match where Tamina proved to the world once and for all how there ain't nobody meaner than Tamina.
There is not, but there may be somebody who can do a better splash. I'm sorry.
No. No.
I'm sorry,
just
Phil.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be that guy.
It's a great splash. What are you talking about?
I think, talk about the rest of the match and then I will give my 2 pence to this scenario.
Well,
Phil,
going through the match, Tamina right away was proving to the world that there ain't nobody meaner, because she did go for the big splash really early on, but it was a little bit too early on, and Nia Jax still had a wherewithal to get her knees up, obviously, and then she goes to tag in Shayna, and then Shayna kind of goes after her arm for a bit, and then like Tamina gets out of it by like giving her a big slam, and then tags in Natalya eventually for the hot tag. And then Natalya has one of the strangest hot tags I've seen in a long time, because she ran in, she like hit the discus clothesline, she hit a big German suplex, and then she was going for the sharpshooter. And then like Shayna managed to get out of that and kind of take over, and then she tagged Nia in, and then immediately Natalya kind of just ran away to the corner and then ran away to the other corner, because I don't know if she went to the wrong corner the first time or whether she just went across and then ran away and tagged into Mina. And it was like 30 seconds after her hot tag or something.
Just transferring the heat of the tag onto Tamina. She was like, still
it. Is that what it was?
Love it.
So yeah, it was just a weird moment where it kind of makes you realize like there's no faces in this feud, and that like nobody, yeah, who are you rooting for here? Like, I don't understand why this is a thing. Are we supposed to be rooting for Natalya and Tamina, the people who attacked the champs from behind in the back before the match and is now being really cowardly in the middle of a hot tag of all things? Or are we supposed to be liking Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, the people who have been just incredibly annoying for absolutely months? And well, I guess they are being bullied on Raw with all the falling over and water stuff. So maybe we are supposed to like them.
Yeah, it does feel, I don't know. I feel like WWE have kind of jumped on the back of Tamina getting a decent reception at WrestleMania, which she did. She got a nice little reception, just kind of going, well, she's the baby face, but we're not going to change the character. Like, we just know that people at home feel that way. And it's like, you need to do something. Like, you can't just have her beating people up and being a bully.
It's very weird. But anyway, Tamina goes up top. And then Reginald obviously gets involved, gets on the apron, and then Natalya goes after him on the outside and kind of tries to get him in a sharpshooter. And then Shayna comes in to save him. She goes for like the Kirifuda clutch for like 2 seconds and then changes her mind and throws Natalya over the announce table. And then Shayna goes up top to meet Tamina and like kind of goes for a superplex, but that gets blocked. Tamina headbutts her because there's nobody meaner. And then she hits the huge, fantastic splash for the 1-2-3, Tamina gets the pinfall victory over the tag team champions. Ain't nobody meaner than Tamina. I may have mentioned this.
You may have. Hey, she had the moment. I'm not taking the moment away from her, all right? She had a thing. That is a thing now that they got that clean win over the tag team. I can't get over that splash, man. Come on. It's like, it's in her blood, this splash. And it's just, I think, just throw caution to the wind. You've got it. You've got it in you. It's there. The build-up's there. When she goes up there and does the whole snooker thing, it's like, oh, here she goes. And then it's like, I've never done, right, I'll be honest, I've never done a splash off the top of a rope. Never done that. I've fallen off many a thing, like, extravagantly. But I understand it's probably a terrifying thing, but it's just,
can confirm it is quite scary.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I get that, but it's just,
you still don't want to kind of land on your feet and then roll down first, I guess.
It looks like something's gone, like someone's reversed it or something's gone a bit wrong. Like, it always, you get that kind of clunky finish where it's like, okay. Yeah, they won. And that's how you feel, even though it's like a nice-ish. It's odd because it's that thing of, again, like, I don't get how this is a big thing that they've got this win over them, because it's like they've been rolling him up and getting the better of him for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they treated it like it was, oh my god, it's like, no, that this has been telegraphed. They've had the better of him in like singles competition for weeks, so I kind of get
and
that.
They beat them at, well, it's, I just don't understand, like, because Nia Jax and Shayna beat them at Mania,
yeah,
and then went on to lose every week in singles matches and now lost in tag matches, so I assume they're going to take this to WrestleMania Backlash or whatever for the rematch, because WWE are loving rematches at the minute, it seems.
But would you put it past WWE to let Shayna and Jax win that match? I could see them doing it.
Well, yeah, that's true. But they're also still teasing about the breakup of Nia Jax and Shayna, but then they've been teasing that for months now, and Reginald's still there. It's such a mess.
It is, because they've got, I think, because they've got all the weird Angel Garza stuff going on Raw. Yeah. It's like, you can't carry that over onto SmackDown. So it's a bit like, we've got dissension for the sake of dissension, because can't really talk about the real dissension because that's on Raw. It's like,
and you've got the Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, no, not Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke stuff on Raw. There's like so many weird little things going into this tag team scene that just make absolutely no sense.
And it's like, I get you can have multiple storylines, I guess, going on with these belts, because they did it last year with Bayley and Sasha, like where they had like a few little,
yeah,
they had the NXT stuff going on, a few little SmackDown bits and Raw. But I think the key thing is there, those characters were presented as like, okay, they're just going to dominate and going on a conquest of all the brands. Whereas here it's a bit like Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax are just getting fed to both brands. Like, go on then, you want these belts, go on and get eaten alive every week. And it's like, I am starting to feel a little bit sorry for him, which I hope this is not WWE's weird, just sadistic way of getting baby faces over. They just absolutely beat the hell out of him week after week after week to make you go, oh, I just want to see him get a victory. I don't know.
And get them bullied backstage. They always like to bully the baby faces, even though Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler are definitely not baby faces. We need to break them up. We need to get them out of the tag team scene. We need to fix Shayna Baszler completely. And then, because, yeah, it's just shocking what's, where she's at in terms of where she should be. And we need to get... I'd be fine with Natalya and Tamina having the tag team belts, because at least that'd be then something new that we can then start something fresh with this tag team division, because we desperately need something new here.
I nearly forgot. This is my little stat that I got.
Oh, yeah.
Really quickly. So before...
You teased it and then you almost forgot about it.
I know. I literally, as we were rearing away, I was like, no. Come back. So... I think technically tonight probably changed this. Again, I don't have my facts 100% right for this bit, okay. But as of 6 days ago, on Squared Circle, somebody posted, we know this on Reddit, everything's 100% factual and true. But this person, this user, your personal Jesus, so it's there, it's got to be true. They posted that SmackDown hasn't had women's wrestling for a combined time of over 10 minutes since the end of January, which I think that's a huge indictment just on the way we see not just the tag division on SmackDown with the women. I think it's one of those things that we've just absolutely rinsed the build up to that incredible match that they had at Mania with Sasha and Bianca. But yeah. The fact of the matter is they had too many matches. Like they've got all the, if you want to go and check it out, obviously just try and type in the words I've just said here on Google and you'll find it. But it's like 2 minute squashes, 2 minute like little matches, including people like Bianca and Shayna Baszler. 1 week was the only thing for women on SmackDown. It was 4 minutes long. Four minutes long. That's your women's division. It's such a simple concept. Have the women in more matches for more time, or just have one match that goes on longer than 10 minutes. And suddenly people will be like, oh, this is important. It's taking up a lot of time. Like it can just be that easy at times. So I just think we need more. Like this was probably a step in the right direction, because I think the tag match combined with this probably did go over about 10 minutes.
Can you count the opening tag match though, I guess? Because it's mixed thing. It's
clutching at straws, man. That's literally just trying to be like, oh, there's the women's title. It's kind of being presented. If you want to go strictly just all women's matches, this unwanted streak still going. So that's just, it's not a good sign for a SmackDown right now.
It's mad. And since we're talking about it and we mentioned it just before the podcast, we started recording, no Sasha Banks again this week. We've not actually seen her in a good couple of weeks now since she was in that little backstage segment where she didn't actually say anything. She just kind of showed off the welt that Bianca did and then stormed off. And we've not seen her since.
Bianca's braid renders people mute and they have to leave WWE forever. So Dolph Ziggler, it's been good knowing you. He's gone after next week. You'll see he won't be able to say a word and he'll go off television for weeks. I don't know what's going on with Sasha. I mean, I hope it's one of those things where she just disappears for a couple of months and comes back with a massive pop and like, oh,
I was going to say, I'm hoping they're just keeping her out for a bit, get WrestleMania Backlash, the Bayley and Bianca match out of the way, and then bring her back in from like a three-way or something at the next pay-per-view, like Bianca versus Bayley versus Sasha, which would be absolute fire.
You know, if it's like last year, we're going to head into this cinematic phase now where we're going to get a pay-per-view after pay-per-view with horror shows and Money in the Bank corporate building match. It's going to be great, Phil. It's going to be happening.
Bring back the swamps.
Oh.
Anyway, we carried on the build to the main event next, and we added this throughout the show. A bunch of people just weighing in, saying who they think is going to win. Booker T was here thinking Reigns is going to win. And then Shinsuke Nakamura was like, thinks Bryan's going to win. But he did also mention that if Roman wins, you've escaped me once, I'll be waiting. Still be ready for that match, whenever it might happen. He'd be a good guy for Roman Reigns just to run through in a match. I think that'd be just really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got to say, like, all throughout this show, they did a spectacular job of hyping up this main event.
Yeah, it felt big. It felt like, I get worried when this starts happening, when they start doing these big like show along things. You're like, oh, here comes the swerve. We're going to get out there 5 minutes in. Someone's going to get a DQ, because it's the art of promotion. Make somebody think it's going to be big and then take it away so they can do it the week after, that kind of thing. But no, hats off. This got us hyped up for a big fight, and it was a big fight. I nearly swore then, Phil.
Then we had Kayla Braxton backstage with the Mysterios, and they're just really excited to be tagging together. Like, talking about how nothing compares to this for Rey, and they just want to become the first father-son tag team champions. Do it yesterday. Go back in time. Do it at Mania in front of a crowd. This has to be done at some point.
yeah. And then the Dominic turn as soon as they win it. Do it like Dean Ambrose did with the Shield. I think that's the only...
You're not my real dad.
Bang, 619. Renames it to the 916 out of disrespect.
Eddie never liked you anyway.
And then run him over with a low rider. No? He loses another run now. I'm going too far.
Then we had Aleister Black back doing his little stories. This time he was talking about how he lives in reality. The whole story was called Reality. And he was talking about how in high school, people like you, speaking to us, littered the halls, unaware, lost in success and adoration, trying to get your date to the prom, trying to find the right college, getting your house with your white picket fence, building your life on a foundation of lies. Imagine thinking any of that is real, falling for that trap. But it's fine because his father never fed me those dreams. He gave him the truth that something is horribly wrong with all of you and he could help you. He could give you the key to escape, but he won't. And he slammed the book shut and that at the end of that.
I don't appreciate having an existential crisis whenever I watch my SmackDown. This is it's getting to the point now with these Aleister Black things where I just sit there going, oh, okay. There goes what I thought life was. They're brilliant, these. It was hard last week to kind of sum up what it was because it's you're getting all this new information, new character, new setting, new like way of delivering things. It's a bit like, oh, okay, what is this going to be? And then this week, we've had the origin story now, and it's just one of those things where I hope it does keep expanding. Where it's like we understand where this character is coming from. What is it? That's again, it's a simple thing, just understanding what a character wants. Like it seems like he just wants to kind of rip away. Yeah, like the motivation. Yeah, it's like that. He just wants to rip away what the foundations, like the expected ways of living. Really, do you know what I mean? It's one of those things. Like he doesn't like the social norms that we live in right now, and he's like, "This is the way," kind of thing. And I like that because it's a fast track to the cult leader thing, which we tend to get in WWE, where he'll just have loads of followers who follow his path, and he's got a book, and then he hits people in the head with a book, like. I know I'm probably oversimplifying it there, but I'd feel like if that's the path we're going to go down with this Aleister Black, fine. I like him as a leader. I think that's a good place for him to be right now.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, really enjoying them. I hope he keeps on doing these for a while and then he goes on an absolute tear in ring. Like he needs to be like a completely revived person when he finally get him back in the ring and just absolutely tear through people for a bit. But I'm really enjoying it the way he delivers all the lines. It's absolutely fantastic. He's like putting his all into the delivery of it. The animation style, again, just looks really nice and like stands out from everything else that they do in WWE. I'm into it. I'm definitely ready to see more.
Has white picket fence ever sounded so threatening to you?
I know, right?
Picket fence. So I was like, terrifying.
Next up, we had Megan Mordant backstage with Big E. And he was talking about how him and Apollo Crews have been all around the world and and all the questions is like, what will you do in your rematch? How can you overcome Commander Aziz? Well, it's okay, because tonight it all comes to an end. He gets his baby back tonight and he's going to take his baby. He's going to sit her in the passenger seat. He's going to buckle her in for safety and then they're going to head north because tonight he becomes a 3-time IC champ.
You're not allowed to just do that, Phil. You're not allowed to just do that. I'm glad that I wore in my mouth that time. Jesus. Yeah, great. Babyface promo from Big E. Oh, God. We missed the trick here. Could have been his entrance music. Imagine that, WrestleMania. Yeah, around the world, man. Just shaking his hips. That'd be, oh, wow. Fuck it, WWE,
cowards. Those hips can sell me an
album. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, just good stuff from Big E. Solid babyface promo. Hyping the match. All good stuff.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, sorry, you froze then as well. So I was like, okay, crap. Yes, it was. Very solid promo. He's good at that, the entertaining man. He's very good. Go and kick Bolo's ass.
Next, we had more of the different superstars hyping up the main event. Xavier Woods thinks Brian's going to win. Kofi Kingston thinks Roman's going to win, but only because of Jey Uso. And then we got the big WrestleMania rematch, or rematches, of Big E versus Apollo. And it went pretty much exactly like the other matches they've had recently, where the actual action between the two of them is great because they've got really, really good chemistry. And the finish is just WWE screwy finishes.
Yeah, it's a bit annoying, really, at this point. You know what I mean? I can't sugarcoat that. It's like, I cannot praise these two enough for what they do. When it's just those two going at it, oh, it's brilliant. It's fun. It's like one of the best. It's such a weird concept. It's like one of the best in-ring feuds that's also one of the most disappointing overall feuds. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's the really actual weird. Matches are great. He's so good, so physical. But the end results, they just make you sit there just going, oh, fuck it. These guys, just let them do something clean.
Yeah, that's the thing with it. It's just. They backstage, when they find out what their finish is going to be, must be so disappointed like themselves, because they just know it's another match where, okay, we get to do whatever, but that finish is always still looming over the top of it. And again, like, they made the most of the actual match. They were absolutely great. It was a really good sort of back and forth thing. It didn't really follow your typical heel face sort of match layout, with the heel getting loads of heat and then the big comeback spots. It was just, I'm going to do this big thing and then I'm going to do this the big thing. It was like two heavyweights just kind of going at each other, knocking it back and forth. And it like started off really early on with like just Big E just sort of out wrestling Apollo Crews, like doing these like big powerful like hip tosses on him that just looked great. And then these two just bloody love doing moves on the ring apron, don't they? They absolutely love it out there. Started off with like Big E hit a big splash on the ring apron, and then Apollo Crews went to do like a suplex, but like off the apron to the outside onto the mats. And then Big E hit him with a big, like belly to belly. And then Apollo went for a moonsault off the apron. And then Big E got more bellies to bellies and a big splash in the ring. And then Apollo Crews just had this huge kick to the face, just absolutely smashed him in the face. And then built to Big E doing a massive uranage in the corner, and then he goes for that sort of spear through the ropes off the apron, and Apollo Crews just kind of kneed him in the face doing it, and then hit a Death Valley driver on the apron because they just love that apron. Everything hurts more, like, let's just do it all on the apron. And then Big E gets a big splash again, and then a kick out of that, and then he gets it up for the big ending. He hits the big ending, but as he's about to pin Apollo Crews, Commander Aziz pulls his leg, pulls him out of the ring, throws Big E into the ring post for the DQ. And then after the match, Kevin Owens comes in to sort of to help Big E. And then sort of Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz kind of get back in control. And as he's going for the Nigerian nail, Big E comes in to help out Kevin Owens. And then from out of nowhere, Sami Zayn just runs in with a hell of a haluva kick on Kevin Owens. He is not holding back with these haluva kicks on Owens. He is just running his foot through his face. And then Commander Aziz throws them all out. Sammy kind of picks up the IC title and is looking at it like, oh, I remember you. And then as Apollo Crews sort of sees him holding it, Apollo Crews gets really annoyed. What are you doing? And Sami Zayn all cowards out and goes, oh, calm down. It's okay. I was just going to do this. And like hands it over to him and then tries to raise Apollo Crews' hand. But as he does that, Commander Aziz attacks him and hits him with the Nigerian nail. Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz standing tall with the championship at the end. And yeah, a lot of nonsense in the finish. Although I guess the only bright spark of this is, if are we heading to a four-way between these guys? Because that looks amazing.
Yeah, on paper, that looks like everything that a kind of WrestleMania backlash should be. You've got two feuds molded into one there that both happened at WrestleMania. Just draw them all together and have them fight over the IC title. It's something we were saying a couple of weeks back where it's like, we feel like that competitive IC title scene that we had a couple months back where it was like anybody could win at any point. Like it's just, it's constantly shuffling, changing. It's almost like there are rankings, like people just yeah. are working their way over it. Now it feels like we're reestablishing that a little bit. Just as a little side thing as well. I know it's way too early and like he's only been on TV a couple of weeks, but there's just something that's like jarring with me right now with the Commander Aziz thing, where it's like the idea of what the character is, where it's like a bodyguard, really, like just a right-hand man who just like helps in this situation, helps Apollo keep hold of his belt, stuff like that. No problem with that. I think it's a great role for him to be in right now. The aesthetic just looks a bit like fancy dress for me. And I know it's super like theatrical. We're in wrestling, like there's people who dress up as like, I don't know, demon clowns. I get it. All right. But it's just in comparison to the rest of the pieces that are moving around in this specifically, this segment, it just looked a bit odd. And I know it's such a stupidly like superficial thing, but it's like, I think there's still some room to grow with that Commander Aziz character where it just kind of finds itself. Do you know what I mean? Where because right now he should be this big threatening force, like similar to what we've got with Omos, where it's like you just see him and go, whoa, okay, that's an equalizer. It should be yeah. that kind of feeling. But I just see him and think, oh, here he is. He's just been handed these clothes and told to go and stand next to this guy. And it's like, oh, there's more to him. And I think we yeah. just need to, like we've done with the Apollo character, where he's starting feeling himself out and understanding what that character is. Equally, he needs to get that time and that chance to do that as well.
Yeah, I think it's that thing of just needs to become comfortable within that character. Like Omos is like, you just see him and all he has to do really is stand there with his arms crossed and you're like, oh my God, he's a beast, because he is an absolute beast.
Yeah.
But it's just like the presence about him, like he just gets it. Like he's just that big dude who protects AJ Styles. That's all he needs to do. And like you say about Apollo Crews, how he's kind of rested into this character now and he's like just sort of starting to feel it and starting to become it. He just needs to get that sort of comfort level with the character. Like now, like you say, it feels like he's playing a part rather than he's just is that person, which I assume will come out.
I think he could do it though. I think he's in a good position to do it. It's just noting like right now, we're not there yet. We're just not there yet.
But yeah, if this is like, it's just sad for Apollo Crews and Big E because like you say, in ring, they've been absolutely fantastic. And I just kind of wish they could have had some kind of good payoff to this feud, but they've never really got there through having to get through Fastlane and then the sort of dodgy finish that happened there. And then the Mania match being really short and then cut off again by a DQ finish. And now this being cut off again by a DQ finish. And it's like ever since Apollo Crews' turn, there's just not been a satisfying end to this. And it looks like we're probably never going to get one. But, like I say, if it leads to that four-way is going to be amazing.
The four-way is going to be great, but you never know with WWE. It could just be another one of those never-ending feuds like Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin. We could get another couple of pay-per-views out of this. There's a chance.
You never know. Next up, we got more hype for the main event. Obviously, The Miz was there. He thinks Roman's going to win, for obvious reasons. And Cesaro, first off, he accepts Seth Rollins' challenge from earlier on. So we are getting Cesaro versus Seth Rollins next week. And he also obviously thinks that Daniel Bryan's going to win. And then we got a big hype video package for the main event, all making it seem like the biggest thing that's ever happened on SmackDown. All fantastic. And then we got Kayla Braxton backstage with Paul Heyman. And boy, he just cut an incredible promo. He is very, very good at this and hyped up this match so much and just put over Daniel Bryan so much. And it's just this entire thing was absolutely brilliant. He was talking about how he's sick of hearing the name Daniel Bryan. And then he started using the sort of yes chant to build that into the promo. And he was saying, like, Daniel Bryan should have never broken into the industry, but did he? Yes, yes. And did he have a Hall of Fame career? Yes. Did he always defy the odds? Yes. Is he the ultimate underdog? Yes. Did he set the Pee Wee Leagues on fire? Yes. Did he graduate to the big stage of WWE? Yes. Did he achieve the ultimate of becoming champ in the main event of Mania? Yes. Did he make the ultimate comeback of all time? Yes. Does everyone believe Bryan will win? Yes. Will he unseat Roman Reigns? Yes. Or does everyone believe he'll unseat Roman Reigns? Yes. Is everyone saying that this is the night that he's going to beat Roman Reigns? Yes. And will he do it? No, he will not be.
Oh, for God's sake.
He will not survive the onslaught. He will not be on SmackDown again. No, no, no. But yeah, just the way he delivered it and everything about it. Paul Heyman is so, so very good at this and just massively putting over Daniel Bryan, but at the same time, staying within his character and still putting over Roman Reigns and majorly hyping up the main event. He just gets it. He's very, very good at this.
Yeah, I hope anybody on either show, or all three shows, was sat there with a pen and paper watching that, because he's a master, an absolute master, understands the art of putting over somebody like you, obviously against your client, whatever, like putting over the enemy and making that, helping that make the match feel special and insane. But it's just, I love little things like that when you just incorporate something really stupid like the yes chance.
Yeah.
Like it's using your own weapons against you. It's little things like that that just make him, it would not surprise me if he just made that up on the fly, if he just started doing that and just riffing, because it felt organic. It didn't feel like somebody had just thrown a script to him. I know he's Paul Heyman, he's probably got enough sway to write his own stuff and do whatever he wants, but just let people play and do that, because that's the best promo that we saw on the show.
And
it's no surprise that it came from somebody just probably riffing. It's trust the talent, not the writers at this point.
Indeed. And then we got Baron Corbin looking like he'd just come off the beach and was really annoyed that he had to film a little clip for WWE, was saying that he doesn't like either of them, but I guess he wants Reigns to win so that Bryan leaves. But yeah, he had his little Hawaiian shirt and hat on. Don't quite know where that look came from, but whatever.
Hey, Beach Boy Baron is a mood, Phil. I'm totally
babyface. And then it was time for the main event. Pretty much halfway through the SmackDown show, they gave this time. And I guess the first thing we've got to talk about is Roman Reigns' new music, which is epic. And I said this on the news that I wasn't quite sold on it yet. I've since watched that entrance 4 times now today, and I am officially completely sold on it.
Yeah, I was waiting for it, Phil. But as we were doing that news video, I was like, I know this man. I think if he gives it some time...
I'd only watched it this morning, on my phone, through my phone speakers. And I was like, oh, it's okay. I don't know if it's great. And then I kind of watched it later with a bit better quality and with my headphones on. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is quite good. And then I watched it again just before the podcast started. It's like, yeah, this is really good. I'm completely sold. It's quiet and strings. And then it kicks in with a big guitar riff and the little piano hook. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I think I'll be listening to that in the shower. I'll be listening to it in the gym. I think I'll be listening to it whilst I'm cooking my tea later. It's a song for all occasions, and it just makes you feel like you can take on the world, but then equally just beat it into submission. It's brilliant. Yeah. Such a lovely duality.
Gotta say as well, during this entrance, goddamn, Roman Reigns looks like a star. Just on another level at the minute with the way he portrays himself on camera. I also noticed that throughout this show, they hadn't used the new camera, the depth of field camera that they had. And I was like, oh, maybe they've given up on it. Maybe they just got bored of their new toy. But nope, they'd saved it so that the only person on the entire show that had it was Roman Reigns. And it really made him stand out, made him look just like the absolute superstar that he is. And it just that playing into... he's just taking his time and the way he looks and just everything about it. He looks amazing and portrayed himself as the star, not just a star, the star.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Was he, I feel like he was one of the only people to have that camera at WrestleMania as well.
No, I think a couple of people had it at WrestleMania. In the main events anyway. And I think Sasha and Bianca did. I don't know about the second night.
The bona fide stars, I think that's how you do it. I think you just have these people who are the out and out kind of faces, the top get that, because it just makes you go, okay, they mean something, they're legit. That's how you make this feel special, this
camera. And it was even just Daniel Bryan's face when he was watching the entrance, you could see it in his face. He was this guy. I'm ready for this. And just the way he was selling it, and just the way he was walking down to the ring, and Paul Heyman's look on his face the entire time just set him apart. In terms of a presentation, you could not ask for more as a superstar.
God, what a difference a year makes, man.
I know.
It's frightening.
Mad. Big time, big match feel for this as well. And then as soon as... I was putting my notes out for this match while watching it. And I think I've basically just written down the entire match because it was just that good. Every little bit of it was absolutely fantastic. So I'll just run through it all, I guess.
We could do a full podcast on this match quite easily.
I know. I'll try and be quick. But I will say that if you haven't watched SmackDown, just go and watch this match, because it is absolutely brilliant. The best TV match we've had in years. Easily pay-per-view main event quality. Easily WrestleMania pay-per-view quality match. Fantastic stuff. But yeah, like immediately as soon as the bell ran, Brian just ran at Roman Reigns, just using his speed, instantly going straight in with the running dropkick and then like loads of kicks in the corner. You saw this theme quite a lot where Daniel Bryan would just come in with a speed and a flurry of offense and then just Roman Reigns just like one massive clothesline and takes him down and goes, oh my God, like let's breathe for a second and then wait for it to all come back. Reigns ended up sort of whipping him throughout the ropes and then Bryan kind of just came back at him and like jumped up with like almost a Luthes press, but like he had to keep punching him on the way down to make Roman Reigns go down. Takes him down, goes for the yes lock quite early on, but Roman Reigns manages to roll out, goes out to the outside looking absolutely shocked, like what the hell is happening to me? And then Daniel Bryan comes with the kick through the ropes and then a running knee off the apron, and then we go to our first commercial of like three commercial breaks I think they had during this match because it was that long. And then when we come back, Daniel Bryan's in control and he's just kind of grounding Reigns with wrestling and things, and then a bunch of kicks in the corner. And then again, Roman Reigns just runs out of the corner with another massive clothesline to take Daniel Bryan down. And that's when Roman Reigns kind of finally gets in control of the match. Bryan tries to fight back a few times, but it's just Reigns just really confidently takes him down in the early going. At one point, he took him down and then just kind of tried to pin him by just smushing his entire face into the mat, which I really, really liked. And then looked really annoyed when Bryan kicked out of it. Just Roman Reigns to a T. And then that's when Roman Reigns kind of starts chatting throughout the match as well, because he's really good at sort of building his character into his matches these days and just keeping across that, the character work, but within the wrestling. Eventually, Daniel Bryan fights back and he goes for the kicks in the corner again, goes for a top rope hurricanrana, but that gets reversed into a massive powerbomb. Then we go to commercial again. Then when we come back, Reigns is back in control, but he's starting to get a little bit annoyed. You can see him like he's just, why am I not taking this guy down? And then he goes for like a bunch of knees in the corner, and then he goes for a superplex, but Daniel Bryan manages to reverse it into sort of a reverse superplex from the back. And then he gets the yes kicks, and that goes into a big Samoan drop for a really close two count from Roman Reigns. And then Roman kind of comes in for the Superman punch, but Bryan just kicks his arm out of the air as he's coming on it. And that, like, you can see really hurts Roman Reigns. And then, like, Daniel Bryan's like, ah, I have a target now. And then that's it. He goes after that arm. He's trying to, like, kick the arm out from underneath him and going after it with, like, wrestling moves and things like that. And then Daniel Bryan goes for a dive to the outside, and then he's just caught by Roman Reigns and hits him with a massive belly-to-belly on the outside. Reigns goes for the spear on the outside, but Daniel Bryan moves out the way. Reigns goes straight through the barricade, go to another commercial. Come back, Daniel Bryan's on the top rope. He goes for a big diving headbutt, gets a two count. Then he goes for the running knee, but instead gets hit by the Superman punch for another really close two count. And then Reigns kind of goes in for the spear, but Daniel Bryan manages to get him into a roll-up from that for another really, really close two count. Lots of really good near falls towards the end of this. And then Daniel Bryan hits the running knee, and Roman Reigns just gets his foot on the rope at the absolute last second. And then Bryan does the thing where he just kind of drags Roman to the middle of the ring and just starts stomping on his head. And he goes for the yes luck, gets him in it, but Roman kind of just powers back out of it and gets him in a pin to break that up. Then Roman hits a spear. That's another really close two count. And then he's going for the guillotine choke, but he can't quite get it locked in because of his hurt arm. Daniel Bryan manages to slip out of it and get him into an armbar to hurt the arm even more. Then gets him into a yes lock. And then Reigns kind of gets close to the ropes, but Bryan rolls him back into the center. And just did you think he's got him and Roman Reigns is going to tap out? He kind of manages to power himself out of it again and just goes for that ground and pound that Roman Reigns has been doing, this sort of desperation, I've got nothing else, I'm just going to beat the crap out of you on the floor. But he's like really impressively like was ground and pounding him on the floor, and then somehow like almost from his knees managed to lift up Daniel Bryan into a powerbomb, hits him with the powerbomb, and then just kind of collapses on top of him and just starts doing more and more punches. And then again, he has another like deadlift powerbomb. And then after that, he goes for the guillotine again, but he can't get it in still because of that injured arm. But this time he decides to switch arms, gets it in with his other arm, and Bryan can't get out. He's in the middle of the ring and you just see him fading. And then eventually the ref calls it. Bryan doesn't tap out, but he does pass out. And yeah, Roman Reigns wins. And this is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, there's few matches that you kind of look back on and dissect it and look at the beats, the drama, the actual in-ring brilliance from both men. Like it's just one of those things now. They're both, and it's lovely looking back on it when you look back on this history between them both, where they had the first real epic at Fastlane all those years ago, holding that. And I watched that recently. I watched that before WrestleMania, holding that up to this. It's frightening. It's frightening to see how far they both come. And it's Reigns is just on a level right now where, and Bryan's going to get all these plaudits. He just will, because he's Daniel Bryan. And like everyone expects this of Daniel Bryan.
He gets the best match out of everybody.
That's what he does. He's sensational. Roman Reigns needs some serious credit coming out of this. And it's one of those things where the big guys, the big sluggers, powerhouses always tend to work well with the smaller guys. But this was something else. There was craft in this. That, like you said, the way he infuses his character into matches now, by it feels Shakespearean sometimes. Like that he just feels like this all conquering being at times. Yeah. And like when he starts throwing out those desperation forearms and like clobbering, but it's just like you feel people are in genuine peril. He's become, I don't know, I don't have enough superlatives for him. Like, this is everything I wanted this match to be and more.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like as well with Roman Reigns, the more he has done this sort of character work in the middle of matches, the more he's gotten more comfortable with it and found like his groove with it. Because I think like when he was doing it at the beginnings, maybe it seemed a bit jarring and it was a little bit like Panto-esque or something, like a little bit too much. But this, it was everything that he was doing with his character work was informed by what was not only happening within his character and the storyline, but what was happening within the match itself, just the steadily getting more and more like impatient with himself more than Daniel Bryan, of like, why am I not putting this guy down? So the like utter shock of some of the attacks that Daniel Bryan got on, and the close two counts to just tearing him down. And then those punches at the end of just like, oh my God, I'm at my last wit with this. Like, what else can I actually do? And just the change of the guillotine at the end was just like, okay, like adapt, change, get this, and then that's it. Like, as soon as he locked that on, that was absolutely it. And it's just, it all works so, so very well. And Roman Reigns is selling as well. You can't go on talking about this match without talking about that, because he was putting over Daniel Bryan massively in the way that he sold his arm. But like, even like in the moves that he was doing, like he adjusted all the moves slightly to get around the arm, and he like never forgot about that as a thing. So it was like, it was always really, really believable that that was there. And the way that Daniel Bryan goes after a limb when he sees it is just like, I'm going to tear this thing off you. So it just, it all just works so well. Love it.
It did just feel, it was one of those things where it's one of the first, not one of the first, but in terms of a character, I was going to say one of the first matches. It's not like he's been doing this for months now, but it's that feeling of what you have when you're watching Brock Lesnar when he started having these matches against the smaller guys, where it's like, he'd sell and he'd really put over the actual danger of the person he was up against. But he still always had that feeling in the pit of your stomach, is he just needs to hit one move. He just needs to hit one thing. And that's what we had all the way through this. And it's like, whereas Brock's not going to be wrestling for 30 minutes straight. He's just not. It's not what he does. It's not what he needs to do. Reigns is just giving us that perfect combination now, where we can have these epics, but then equally still possessing that same energy, that same feeling where it's like, he just needs to catch him with one spear. Seeing Daniel Bryan kick out of a spear, like that was, there was a point where that move was just the most protected thing in all of wrestling. But now it's like the guillotine. You get caught in that guillotine. Good night, my friend. Good night. I love that finish as well. That's how Daniel Bryan goes out. Just, he goes out pretty much dead in wrestling terms. He's like, yep, if I can't win, I'm just pop my head off. That's like, I'm not tapping out to you. I'm not giving up. And it's just poetic. I think if it would have just ended here, my heart would have been a bit more happy, let's say. I would have been a bit more like, okay, what a fitting end, right off into the sunset. But no, it's not. There's Mr. Roman Reigns.
Just before as well, I just got to say, with Daniel Bryan, somehow, I don't know how he does it, but every single time, even though you go into the match and you're like, there's absolutely no way Daniel Bryan's winning this match, he just makes you believe. And I don't know how he does it, but every time, like with some of the near falls and things in this, but just like, oh, like it actually gets you like, oh, maybe he can, maybe they will do this. And there's just something about him of just that like you say, the ultimate underdog. There's that like passion and belief in himself that goes above and beyond anything else, that you just think, oh, maybe he can, maybe he can. And you always know he's not.
But like letting Roman Reigns tap out at Fastlane, like the most recent Fastlane, is an inspired choice now.
Yeah.
The last two big matches, because anytime he's got in that yes slot, you're like, oh, he can tap, he's done it. And it's just a little thing where it's, that's just passed on now into every single match they had. And we're going to have so many more. Oh, no, we're not going to have any more times of that happening forward, because that's it.
He's gone. But yeah, and Roman Reigns selling the yes luck as well. Like that, as soon as Daniel Bryan was going for that, like Reigns was desperate to get out of that thing because he knew, like you could see it, like just the way he had to like power out of it. It was almost powering into the pain to get the pin in the first but one. And the other one, it was just the only thing I can do is just desperation, grab at your hands and try and get out of this thing. He knew he had to get out of that, or that was it.
Such an emotional scar, isn't it? It's like, I know this can make me tap out. I'm terrified of this.
Good stuff. But yeah, like we say, at the end of it, Roman Reigns didn't have enough. He went for some chairs on the outside. He was going to hit Bryan with the concerto, put one chair under his head, lifted up the other one. But as he did, Cesaro's music hits, which is always entertaining. Like he sat there, cue my music. I need to save my friend. runs in, hits him with a hell of an uppercut, though. Flew into him with a massive uppercut. It looked like it even took Roman Reigns by surprise as to how hard he hit him. And he hits another one on the outside just as hard. And then Jey Uso runs in out of nowhere, starts attacking Cesaro, hits him with a super kick, ties up Cesaro in the ropes so he can't move. And he has to sit and watch his friend as Roman Reigns lifts up the chair, hits Daniel Bryan with the concerto, and then SmackDown fades to black with just Roman Reigns screaming at Cesaro with a just dead Daniel Bryan on the floor and Cesaro tied up in the ropes. It's all brilliant. I love all of this.
Yeah, this was such a...
Except no, I don't love Daniel Bryan having to go to Raw or NXT or whatever he's
doing. You said it now, Phil.
It's not Raw.
You wish that on us now. He's going to Raw. You said it. You loved everything about it. So they're going to bring dreams now. And I make a lot of like Avengers analogies on these podcasts now. I'm starting to realize this. But this was such an Infinity War moment where it's like the bad guys just snapped the good guy out of existence. Yeah. And everyone's just sat there like, what? Now what? Now what do we do? Cesaro's gotten tied up. He's two against one. He's got no friends.
It's like another layer onto the WrestleMania thing as well, with the whole smash him, stack him, pin him, where he just pinned both Edge and Daniel Bryan. And now it's just !! Of concerto. Like, I've already beaten you. You're already banished from SmackDown. I'm still going to do this and I'm going to make your friend watch. It's just the hopelessness of this. Who the hell can beat Roman Reigns at this point?
I'm loving this. And like, we said it a bit back and I think you suggested that you just want to see Roman hold this belt for a year, a solid year, because just keep lining people up against him, build them up to the point where you think, oh, maybe they could do it. And then he still just gets through, and he gets through in different ways. That's what makes this so intriguing to watch unfold at this point. The Kevin Owens stuff, you just felt like he was getting to on the skin of his teeth. Like KO really gave him a good run for his money in every single match they had. Whereas the Daniel Bryan stuff, he's emphatically ended that. And it's a bit late.
I think as well, it plays into the storyline that they've told with the Daniel Bryan stuff in the way that he's ended this, because Daniel Bryan was all about goading him into it in the first place and like pointing out all of his flaws and how he's had to have like Jey Uso's help and Edge's help and whatever to win matches in the past and how people have come close, but you've always had your buddies by your side to be able to cheat your way out of it. And just the way that Daniel Bryan built to this match informs what Roman Reigns does at the end of, okay, you think this is the way? First off, I'm going to beat you clean with no interference. Secondly, I'm going to destroy you and your career. And it's just absolutely everything I'm going to take from you.
And if you saw what Paul Heyman did after Brock Lesnar ended the streak with The Undertaker and how much he put over that feat for months, years, really. Like, to this day when he pops up. But now, just transfer that onto Roman Reigns for Daniel Bryan. We will be hearing about the man who banished the leader of the... from SmackDown forever. We're going to hear about this just week in, week out. That's going to be that everlasting reminder now of, you want to cross me, you want to goad me, go and ask Daniel Bryan how that works out.
Yeah, it's great. And very excited to see where they go from this. Obviously, we're going to get Cesaro versus Roman Reigns at some point, but Cesaro's going to get through Seth Rollins next week. I assume, I hope at least, Seth Rollins is just Cesaro is just going to win that, and then that can be a stepping stone to sort of prove that Cesaro is to the level of Roman Reigns, I guess, going into WrestleMania Backlash. But I've genuinely no idea who's going to take this belt off Roman Reigns eventually, because I don't think it's going to be Cesaro as much as Daniel Bryan wants it to be. And I don't see anyone else ready or even close at the minute.
No, there's a hopeful there's a hopefulness in the fact that SmackDown have a chance to build a few baby faces.
Yeah.
And they need to, like you said, because they've just lost the guy in that sense.
Yeah, the baby face.
Yeah, you can throw him in at any point, any time of year, you can just throw him in there. You've lost him now. So you need to... There's people there to mold. There's people that they can do it with. Cesaro's a key one. Like Nakamura could be rejuvenated in a couple of weeks. Like it's one of those. You just need to start. I'm really racking. Like obviously, there's Big E. He's the big one. Like hopefully, yeah. that's coming up to WrestleMania season. We've got him there.
Yeah, not yet that, but there's time to build Big E.
But away from him, it's like we've done Kevin Owens a lot. They're great, but we've done Kevin Owens.
Yeah, can't go back to that.
Who else? Like I said, Nakamura. Is it going to be a call up? Is there going to be something from NXT? Like, is somebody maybe going to come over from Raw? Like, it's interesting. Yeah. Or does Lesnar come back and kill him? Yeah.
Or does Lesnar come back? That's always the one that's lingering there somewhere, which yes. has to happen at some point. Although right now, I don't know how they get there, because you've got the Paul Heyman link, and does Paul Heyman finally get annoyed with being Roman Reigns' lackey, bring back Brock Lesnar? And then really, if that happened, I'd kind of want Roman Reigns to beat him just to continue this. Roman Reigns being the absolute granddaddy of them all.
And there's all that storyline potential still with the Jey Uso stuff. Like there is.
And whenever Jimmy comes back.
I love this.
So much for this, yeah.
Like there's no dead end for this main event. Like where you look at Raw with the Bobby Lashley stuff, it's a bit like, I like Bobby. I think he's great as a WWE champion, but I'm a bit like, I don't know. Option wise, I'm not sure where we go after the Drew stuff and the Braun stuff. And it's a bit like, I'm not doing backflips at the thought of it. Whereas this, it's like, oh God, just take us on a ride.
Indeed. But yeah, very sad to see Daniel Bryan leave SmackDown, as he's absolutely fantastic. No idea what he does either now. I hope they keep him off TV for at least a while. Mm. I don't know. I personally want to see him go to NXT, because I think he'd just be amazing down there, and lots of new matchups where I think we've pretty much seen everything I'd want to see everyone Raw.
It's one of them. Like you could just put him in a Finn Balor role. He doesn't have to win the belt. He doesn't have to be kind of near the top. I don't think he'd want to be. I think he'd want to be in there.
The story tells it himself as well. Like Daniel Bryan could just be there. It's like, all right, you're all new. I've been here forever. Come at me, see if you can. And every week you could just write a different story with a different person, and it would be absolutely fantastic.
Just for that Pete Dunne match alone. I mean,
Johnny Gargano, that's the one. Yeah. Johnny Gargano, Daniel Bryan, that's like low-key dream match for me right now.
Let me just drop this little thing on you. Little thing, all right? And just you can thank me later. Walter, Daniel Bryan.
Walter Bryan.
Imagine the chest.
Bring that Regal. Bring back Regal. Regal versus Bryan.
Imagine. No, my mind's just on the Walter thing, because I could think it was Daniel Bryan's chest after the greatest Royal Rumble. I just want that level of brutality again. Probably Daniel
versus Bryan as well.
So much. That makes sense. And you know what? Because it makes sense, he's going to Raw.
Yeah, definitely. But yes, that was the SmackDown Review podcast. Another fantastic SmackDown, dominated by the main event, as it should have been, because it was absolutely bloody amazing.
Who are you coming as next week for the go back edition? What's your
go back?
I'm going Shawn Michaels in the small shorts. I'm going.
Rock. It's the Rock show after all. So
you did the Rock. So I'll switch your music you as you go for the People's Elbow. That's the plan.
Well, I think the biggest question going forward now for SmackDown is, will the SmackDown fist make a comeback next week?
Well, that's, yeah.
That other rings, one of them.
I want some fisting. I want some fisting action. But it's a shame, because we're going to lose Daniel Bryan with his little fisting one-liners. Too close to home.
But yes, that was the SmackDown Review podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want to continue the conversation, you can do that on Twitter. You can follow me at Phil My Chambers, and you can follow Gareth
at GMorgan04.
And you can follow all of us at What Culture WWE. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from, and leave us a 5-star review while you're there to put a smile on Adam Wilbourn's face. Thank you very much for joining us. Adam Wilbourn will be back with a very pre-recorded Raw preview on Monday that he actually recorded yesterday because of the bank holiday, although it is Raw, so I'm pretty sure nothing will change between now and then.
Famous last words.
But yes, thank you very much and have a fantastic day.
Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.